So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you be with us tonight, and I ask that you give me clarity of thought so that I have a clear tongue, and I ask that you also would enhance all of our thought patterns so that we get what we're supposed to get from this as we look at your word, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're mainly going to be covering blessings and curses, and we're looking at the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob, but that's just kind of a jump-off spot for us. And so I want to quickly do the last 5 minutes of last week and kind of bring us up to steam in terms of what we're really going to be talking about tonight, which is whether you bless or curse, and a few things that have to do with that. So chapter 27, verses 18 to 26, we covered this last week, but we're going to cover it very shortly here. So he went into his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am." This is Jacob. "Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that you may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, that I may feel you, my son, and know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, and we're going to cover that in just a minute. Quickly, what we were looking at is Jacob is partner in this lie. So he is not upright at this point in time in terms of this. And Isaac is not sure that it's really Esau, but he's of significant age at this point in time. And we talked about these things that happen to people. As we get older, things happen, and especially when we get really old, age and infirmity will blindness sometimes. Isaac is mostly blind, and so he's not sure of things anyway. Because when you lose your sight, you lose that surety of walking around even in the light. But the other thing, another thing that happens as you get older is you lose the ability to cope with life situations. And that happens with age as well. There's a loss of mental clarity that comes with age as well. And one other thing that happens when you get older, you don't care as much. Ain't that right, John? Don't care as much, right? Just kind of, well, whatever. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm picking on you. Yeah, so anyway, Jacob's doing this, and Isaac is not sure what's going on here. Couple of things that happen. So he blesses Jacob. Four things that we covered in terms of the words that matter. We are created in God's image. And that's number one. Since we are created in God's image, we create like God does. And how do we do it? We do it by word. When God created the heavens and the earth, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He creates by words, and we all do it. You can create things just by saying things. And if you think about it, you know that truth. Somebody may come up to you and curse you, basically, and tell you what a scumbag you are or whatever, you know, and that hits us because words create. But if somebody comes up to you and says, "Man, that was really good. You did a really good job on that. I think you're fantastic." That does things, that creates things in us as well, does it not? Words create, and we are created in the image of God, so we create by word. Third thing about this is Isaac is the father here, and you cannot overcome the order of things. If you are father to children or mother to children, there is an order to things. And whatever you say can affect your children positively or negatively, depending on how you do it. Everybody understand these truths? That's good, because you need to pay attention and you need to live intentionally, especially if you are in a position of authority, and you are in a position of authority with your children, even though you may not, they may be grown and gone, okay? You still have a position of authority, and I know that I can speak curse or blessing on my children right now. All I have to do is do it. Got it? That's the third thing here that we need to understand. And the fourth thing is, you have the authority to bless and curse people. You have the authority to bless and curse your children. If you are in a position in workplace where you are a boss, you have the authority to bless and curse your people who are under you. So if you are in those positions of authority, pay attention. Be intentional in how you treat people. If you are an underling to somebody and somebody treats you poorly, you know it, don't you? You know, it hits you. It'll strike you right now. Those four things. And so as we're looking at this, Isaac is about to bless Jacob. And in this particular thing, and Jacob is not, he is not being upright in all this, along with his mother. Now, that's where we kind of stopped last week. So I want to talk to you about blessings and curses here. We're going to read this blessing of Isaac on Jacob, which is verses 27 to 29. So he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you." Now, I want to look at this particular expression here and show you a few things in terms of this. Now, the blessing is, I have up here, if you read the scriptures, there's a lot of physical pictures of spiritual truths that are in scriptures. And one of this is has to do with grace and truth and glory. In John chapter 1, verses 14, it talks about Jesus. And it says these very words, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father." Now, that one verse has three things in it that talks about grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth, and we beheld his glory. Okay, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, anything that has to do with water represents grace. Anything that has to do with fire represents truth or revelation, you might say. So when you talk about truth, when Moses appeared before the burning bush, that was fire. And he revealed himself to Moses, revelation. When the tongues of fire were over the people, or looked like tongues of fire at Pentecost, they were revealing truth to them, and those people could talk to one another in different languages, and they understood one another, and that was the descent of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, it's always represents truth. Now, also in the Old Testament, grain always represents the blessing or the grace for things. Wine or grapes always represents truth or revelation to things. When the people of Israel were going through the wilderness, God blessed them with the grace of the manna. That was a continuous thing that happened to them. He led them by a pillar of fire, which was the revelation or the truth, and that's how he led them. And those are physical pictures of the spiritual idea of grace and truth. When they got to the promised land, they went in and checked it out, and what did they come back with? Piles and piles of grapes, with which we make wine from. The first miracle that Jesus did in John chapter 2, I think it is, what did he do? He turned water into wine. In other words, he turned grace into fire water, basically full of truth as well. That's what he did. That's why that first miracle is important, because it shows both grace and truth happening in the context of that. And so we have these kinds of things. These images are all over the Old Testament, especially. And all you have to do is look for them. The third thing is glory. Glory is what we had. We were clothed with glory in the Garden of Eden. And we sinned and we lost that glory. And when they realized they were naked, it was not just naked of clothes. They were naked of the glory of God anymore. And they had lost their dominion. Glory represents dominion. And when we see Jesus full of grace and truth and we beheld his glory, it's talking about his dominion, which has to do with rulership. And it has to do with the image of God that is in us. The undefiled image of God is one of where we're clothed in glory. We have dominion and rulership, which we lost because of sin in the garden. Now, as we look at this kind of stuff and we see this, I want you to understand what's going on here in this blessing that Isaac is about to give to his son Jacob. Now, let me read. He says, "See the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven." What is dew made out of? Water, which is grace. May God give you grace. That's what he's saying. "And of the fatness of the earth." And what is that? That is fruit, where you become fruitful. In other words, you will be fruitful in terms of how you live your land, life around the land. That's what he's saying. So he's got that. "And plenty of grain and wine." So in other words, he says, may there be plenty of grace and truth in the context of your life. That's what he is saying right here to Isaac. Got it? Everybody understand this? This is a blessing. So he's giving him grace. "Let people serve you and nations bow down to you." And this has to do with what? Dominion. Glory. Where you become somebody, I guess, is what it amounts to. You become a person that exercises rulership over your life and dominion in terms of your life. And he said, "Let people serve you and nations bow down to you." Who do we bow down to? As kings. And I've said this to everybody. Everybody here is a king or a queen. You have your own, basically, kingdom that you rule. Now, some of our kingdoms are larger than others and some are smaller. But we rule kingdoms, all of us. Therefore, may you have dominion over that which God has given to you. And that's what he's saying here in this one. "Let people serve you and nations bow down to you." May there be glory or dominion or rulership in your life. And you will not play the victim. You will not be victim to other people. Then he says, "Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you, and cursed be everyone who..." Well, let me say, first off, that's dominion too, isn't it? That means that may you be the number one son and hold dominion and glory. Now, this is the blessing of the father to his son. We all give blessings to our kids or curses to our kids. Now, you need to understand that Jacob was seeking this blessing. And the reason that he is seeking it is because it packs power and authority. And we're going to get into that in a little bit in terms of this as well. Then he says, cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. And the best way I can describe this is, let's say you have a mirror in front of you. You smile at that mirror, and it smiles back at you. You frown at that mirror, it frowns back to you. Do you not? Well, he basically says this. If people bless you, may they be blessed. If people curse you, may you be cursed. May they be cursed. In other words, it's like a mirror reflection. Whatever they do to you, may it be done to them. Now, one of the things that we need to think about in terms of this kind of stuff is that as God's people, those of us who name Jesus as our Savior, and we're in that process of really making Him Lord of our lives, this kind of blessing runs in our family then, and it runs in you. And essentially, anyone who blesses you gets blessed, and anybody curses you gets cursed. Now, the other thing that we need to always remember about this is that God may love them as much as you. They may be as much a child of God as you are, and so it is wisdom to bless others and not curse them. Because you may be cursing someone who God happens to think very fondly of. And if he does that, he says, well, you're going to get it right back at you. Just the kind of thing that's going on here. Now, as soon, and I'm going to read this next little bit here where it says, verses 30 to 33, okay? As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared savory food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" Once again, age may be playing part of this. Got it? Because he's mostly blind too. He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." Now, basically what is happening here, a couple of things. Once the blessing is done, it's done. It's kind of like toothpaste. Once you squeeze it out, you can't get it back in the tube. Words once spoken can't be taken back. And I want you to understand that this is a truth. Whether you are blessing because you have authority over people or not, or cursing because you got authority over, but anything you say, once it is said, can't be unsaid. Once the bell's been rung, it can't be unrung. And this has to do with anything you say. But in terms of blessing, you need to take note of this. This is why you need to pay attention and be intentional in your speech. And how you say, "Well, I can't live like that all the time." Well, if you can't, guess what? You're going to get the random acts that you do and the random words that you say, and they can come back to haunt you. They can come back and haunt your children or people that work with you or whatever. Once words are spoken, period, yours, mine, anybody's, they cannot be taken back. So it is wisdom to hold your tongue and be very intentional about what you say And one of the things that I've learned over the years is if I'm tired, I try not to be around too many people. Because I might say something that I really don't want to intend to do, but I can end up doing it. And I just learned over the years, because I work with people all the time, and you need to be very intentional and pay attention all the time. But if you're around people, bless, don't curse. I would say be positive, don't complain or whine either, because those are words, are they not? So anyway, words once spoken can't be taken back. And you hear Isaac say that. He says, hey, he's blessed. He's blessed. Now, a blessing is a pronouncement on something or someone or something. If you're going to bless people, you're making a pronouncement on somebody. It can be prophetic in nature because it's a... If you read this blessing, what is it? It is a prophetic blessing. It says, may God give you the grace of heaven, basically the dew of heaven. May you be fruitful from the earth. May you have plenty of grain and wine, grace and truth in terms of your life. Let people serve you. In other words, may you have glory in terms of who you are. May nations bow down to you. May you have dominion, glory in terms of things. This one's prophetic in nature. Now, this is not a blessing like, well, may you just have a good day. Well, that's really not a blessing. Isaac is speaking from God's image here. He is speaking out of this, and every one of us who names Jesus as our Savior, and we're in that process of making Him Lord of our lives, we speak from God's image in us. Everybody does speaks from their image, even those who are evil in their hearts or are just not paying attention or doing evil things or bad things. They are too, but we are speaking from the image of God that is in us. And in this particular case, in blessings, we are declaring God's intent as we see it for a person. So essentially what we're doing when we bless people is we are partnering with God. Now, it is not just have a good day. That is not a blessing. You understand the difference here? This is serious business here. This is the blessings that you give to your kids, those who work for you, those who are your friends, people around you. It can be random people, but a lot of times that's just being nice to them. And there is a difference here. And notice what happens in this particular thing is that Esau comes in with the same stuff, and he finds out that basically Jacob's already been there. And then it says in verse 33, it says, Isaac trembled violently. Was he mad? Because he was duped? I think that's part of it. I mean, I would be angry too if I found that out, and because he had been duped. But there's more to it than that. He also understands what has just happened. He has blessed Jacob instead of Esau. Now, we know from earlier scriptures that it says that Isaac preferred Esau and that Rebekah prefers Jacob. So we know there's issues that are going on in this family from way back. And so is he just mad? But yes, he's that, I'm sure. He also understands what has just happened. But he also has a lot of age, and he's mostly blind. And it's possible that he's also losing his faculties to cope with life as it comes at him. And so it could be affecting him spiritually, emotionally, intellectually. physically, because I know people who are not able to cope with life as it hits them, and sometimes it's more prevalent in people as they get older. But I know some people in their 30s that cannot cope with what hits them right between the eyes, and he trembles violently. And I think this affects the entire man. Emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, physically, he is really hit hard here by this, because he knows what he has done. He has blessed Jacob instead of Esau. Now, he also knows you can't take any words back. No matter how much you want to, you can't take them back. And he says that in verse 33. He says, I have blessed him, yes, and he shall be blessed. Right there he says, this is happened and it's there. Now we need to look at a little bit, remember about the family here. Now these people, this is PG to R-rated Bible study. This is not for children, because Jacob, the way we treat our kids in Sunday school, we dumb it down to G-rated. You have to remember, there is a rift in this family. And this can happen. I mean, I don't have to watch soap operas. All I have to do is watch the people's lives around me. I mean, really, there's a rift here between Isaac and Rebekah. We know this, because of parental preference for those two boys. So that rift has come forth. We also know that Isaac is the one that God has blessed and appeared to in terms of the blessing and the redemption of humanity. In other words, he's God's man. Rebekah, though, has revelation that Isaac doesn't have about the two boys, because she found out about that when they were in the womb. So you have horizontal thinking and you have vertical thinking here. And by the way, this is the way our lives are. We have vertical, if you're paying attention and you're thinking vertically, you still have all the horizontal things that happen in terms of life. And that's what we see going on here as well. So you got to keep the family environment present. And God is working in the family. And yet there's still free will and human beings involved. And as I always say, if it weren't for people, my ministry would be great. And there is a certain sense in which, maybe we'd all be better off if we just lived alone like monks. But that's what's going on here. And in the midst of this, God is working redemption into humanity through these very, very human people who have their own sinfulness and their own kinds of ways in which they've duped one another and treated one another poorly. Okay, so Isaac trembles because he's probably mad, but he's also old and he's blind and something's happened. Okay, verses 34 to 38. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, bless me, even me, also my father. But he said, your brother came with guile, and he has supplanted, has taken away your blessing. Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Now, just so you know, he did not take away the birthright. Esau gave it to him for a mess of chili. And we need to remember that. I mean, Jacob did not, that was not guile. He just asked him, they said, and it was just for one bowl of chili. I mean, he didn't even ask for a week's worth of chili. He asked for one bowl of chili, and basically he lives out of his own flesh, and he always say, you know, it's immediate gratification versus long-term thinking. He took away my birthright. No, he didn't. You gave it away yourself. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing, and that is true. He did do that. He did it by guile and deception. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered Esau, behold, I have made him your lord, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine. That's grace and truth, grace and truth. I have sustained him. In other words, he gave him grace, truth, and glory. He gave him back basically dominion in the whole thing. What then can I do for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Now, I've said this. Basically, grace, truth, and glory have gone to Jacob. And Esau gave away his birthright, but his blessing from his father was stolen from him by deception. Verse 39. Then Isaac, his father, answered him, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be your dwelling be, and away from the dew of the heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you break loose, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now, is this a blessing or not? I don't think it's a blessing. I would classify this as prophetic truth. I don't know what else to call it. Because he says, if you think about it, behold, away from the fatness of the earth. You will not receive fruitfulness from the earth around you. You're going to be in a wilderness setting that shall your dwelling be. And away from the dew of heaven on high, which is basically saying you're not going to live under grace either because there's no water. Away from the dew of the heaven. So it's wilderness living without grace. This is without much grace anyway. And this is a prophetic statement. This is not a blessing. It would be close to be classified as a curse. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you break loose, you shall break his yoke from your neck. In other words, you're going to be serving your brother until that is somehow dissolved and destroyed. Because that's the way it is. Now, in chapter 25, verse 23, we know this. This is the revelation that came to Rebekah when the kids were in the two nations are in your womb. Two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger. And we know that Jacob is the younger, right? Right? Even though they're twins, he came out second, hanging on to the heel of his brother Esau. And so what we have here, he is going to be Lord over you. And revelation had already come to Rebekah. And what he is stating here is the same revelation that Rebekah had. Now, I think about this stuff. I said, these people don't live in stained glass. They live daily lives like us. Do you think that maybe this stuff was talked about around the kitchen table occasionally between Rebekah and Isaac, especially if they were at odds with one another as to how to treat the kids? I just got a feeling that there's all kinds of things that are going on here. You can't read them in one or two verses, but you really got to think about this stuff and say, you know, if these are people like you and me, and they're living together, and they don't have TV to watch, and what do they do after 7 o'clock at night? You know, I mean, they sit around and talk about things occasionally, I would think. And I know that there's a rift that's going on, And, you know, Isaac sits over here and he says, I don't like the way she's too nice to Jacob. And I would say that there are clashes every so often. And maybe at some point in time, Isaac says, you know, God has talked to me and he has appeared to me and he's going to bless me through this stuff. And Rebecca says, yeah, well, I'll tell you this. God talked to me too. And he talked to me when I was pregnant. And here's what I know. And they just go at each other. Kind of like Republicans and Democrats. They go at each other. What do you think? I think that goes on in this family. Do you not? I mean, let's not think of them that way. Now, verse 40. By your sword you shall live, etc., etc. Okay, verse 41. Now, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever seen the movie Godfather. But there is a perfect example of this kind of thinking in The Godfather. When Michael Corleone takes over for his father and all this, and his father dies, and Alfredo betrays him. Not only that, the husband of his sister betrays them. Michael Corleone does not do anything to Alfredo until his mother dies. And in the movie, when his mother dies, Alfredo is dealt with out on that lake at the end of the movie, and his sister's husband is dealt with accordingly, but he doesn't do it until after his mother died, so that she would not be privy to that action. And that is exactly what Esau is saying here. He says, boy, as soon as my dad dies, this game's afoot. And I'm going to deal with this brother of mine. Okay. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about blessings here. Because we'll pick up on this story as we go. But I want to talk about blessings. At the end of a church worship service, there is a benediction, and I give benedictions, okay? That is basically the good word. That's what that means. Benediction means the good word. It has to do with blessings in terms of things as pastor of this church. I want to read to you a few. You've got them, the scriptures are up here someplace. That's chapter 27, 39, 40, by the way. I have Hebrews chapter 13. You may have heard some of these in the context of church services on occasion, because I've used all of these in one form or another. Chapter 13 of Hebrews, verses 20 and 21. Peter's writing to a church. He says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus and great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will. Now, this is a blessing that Peter is giving to the Hebrews. Working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now, that is a blessing or a benediction. I've used it on occasion in church. Not always, but I've used it on occasion. I'll give you another one. If you go to certain churches, you're going to hear these things proclaimed by the pastor at the end of the worship service. Chapter 15 of Romans, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. That is a blessing or a benediction. That's the good word that is given as a benediction in churches sometimes. Now then, there's Jude. Now, finding Jude is hard work. It is right before Revelation, but it's only one page long. So there's only one chapter. It's just verses in it. Jude, verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Basically, that's a good word, pronouncing the glory of God upon people. Got it? Another one, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Finally, all of you have unity in spirit, sympathy, love of brethren, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Now, this is a charge as well as a benediction. Do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. By the way, that's using your words, which is how we create. But on the contrary, bless. For to this you have been called, that you may obtain a blessing. In other words, it's kind of like that mirror again. When you bless other people, it is reflected back on you. When you curse other people, it is reflected back on you. Anyway, he's talking about this stuff. For you have been called that you may obtain a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil. Now, I don't use this whole thing as part of a benediction, but you can take it to heart. He that would love life and see good days, what are you going to do? Keep your tongue from evil. That is pronouncing bad stuff. And his lips from speaking guile, deception. That's deceiving others. Let him turn away from evil and do right. Let him seek peace and pursue it. And as you don't cause strife with people. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. In other words, you know, if you're going to be the other kind of person, do you think that God's going to listen to you a whole lot? And in reality, I've come to realize this truth. People sometimes wonder why God isn't listening to their prayers. Well, the question is, does God have any influence in your life? You know, I've talked to people and says, you know, essentially, they live their life strictly like flesh, like Esau lived his life on the flesh level. They never think about anything up there, and they just go on, and if they get in trouble, they go, oh, God, help me, you know, that kind of thing. But they don't think about it. They don't live their life that way. In other words, God says, listen, you need to straighten up in this area. You need to be good as a parent. You need to do this. I said, well, you have no influence on me. And God basically has always said, if I don't have any influence with you, do you really expect me to be influenced by what you want or what you pray? And that is a spiritual truth that people do not understand, that real judgment is in your hands. It always has been. They think that God's the one that gets mad and kills people and everything, but in reality, we make the judgments ourselves. And then he says, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. Well, that's because God has influence with them. And if you have influence with one another, if you have friends, if you don't have influence with one another, you don't have a relationship, simply. And his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord, again, is against those that do evil. Now, these are blessings or based on issues of our lives. Now, all of us have issues of our lives. There are things going on right now in the context of all who we are. And a lot of times, blessings have to do with those things that are going on in our lives. Bless so you can obtain a blessing. If you bless, then it gets reflected back on you. Remember that truth. If you curse, guess what? It gets reflected back on you. Blessings bring things to life, and curses bring about evil and death to things and people. We need to understand that truth. And at which point you can ask yourself, am I a blessing or am I a curse? When it comes to my family, when it comes to my friends, when it comes to my workplace, you know, are you a blessing or are you a curse? If you are a blesser, it comes back on you. Now, we're told to count our blessings because the truth of the matter is all the blessings that we have are quiet. And so you have to pay attention to the fact that, oh, I am really blessed in these areas. And you say, I'm standing up here right now, and all the parts are working mostly okay. Got it? Is that a blessing? Yes. But if you're not thinking about it, you know, and you're just going on, hey, you know, but if you have a curse in your body, which I've noticed that I've had that recently, you notice that right away. You know, you don't have to have anybody say, hey, you need to remember you got real pain in your back. Well, I don't need anybody to tell me that when it happens. But standing up here right now, everything seems to be working relatively well. And so there's blessing happening, but I'm not thinking about it because, hey, it's just part of it. Blessings bring things to life, but they're not really that noticeable around you when people are blessing you. The blessings of Jacob, in chapter 49 of Genesis, this is the blessings of a father. Now, one of the things that I want to keep reminding you, if you're a parent, you can bless or curse your children right away. And it doesn't matter whether they're 2 or 15 or 30 or 45. It doesn't matter. You can bless them or not. You know, when my dad died, he was 98 years old. And I was not a spring chicken. I was around 55, 60 or something like that. No, I was 63. I know, because I was 35 years younger than he was. He still had the power to bless or curse me even then. Even though he was all the things I described Isaac of having, all the frailties of life, he still had the power, the authority to bless or curse. In chapter 49, you have all the things that Jacob called his sons together, and he spoke about all of them. Some were better blessings than others, but I want to call the attention to 49:26. Where it says, the blessings of your father are mighty beyond the blessings of the eternal mountains, the bounties of the everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Joseph. Now, you notice what he does. He puts the main blessing on Joseph and on the brow of him who was separate from his brothers. There's the blessing of Jacob on Joseph. And it describes what the blessings do. They are mighty in nature. And let me tell you something. You may think that you have no ability to bless or curse your children, but you do. Now, I'm the pastor here in this church. Some of you are members and most of you are members, but some of you aren't members. Some of you are, I am also your spiritual father. That is, I was sent by God for you to be your pastor. That needs to be taken seriously by two people, me and you. If you're not under my covering, that has nothing to do. But I was sent by God to be the one that God brought to you in terms of that. Now, I do a lot of blessing. And when I say that, I know this. It has to do with the order of things and who I am, as I am sent by God to be your pastors. And I take this very seriously. And those of you who are members of this church should take this very seriously as well. Because there is a relationship between me and you. I have a ministry to a lot of people, but not everybody am I shepherd to. And it has to do with your authority things. One of the things, and what that means is, now, you can blow this off or not. It has to do with, I have authority, more or less. And a lot of that has to do with influence, and it has to do with our relationship with one another. Because influence has to do with your relationship. And I know that when I speak blessing, these are words that are spoken aloud, and I know that they create things and they bring things into being. And so I intercede for those of you who are members of this church. I intercede with God for you because I was called to be your pastor. And this really doesn't have a whole lot to do with you and your relationship with God, except that I know what I was called to be and to do. And as long as you are under my care, I have a responsibility to God for your spiritual life as far as I am able. Period. I know this. You need to know this too. So when I speak words of intercession for you, and I know this, I pray for you folks, whether you know it or not, I pray for you and I intercede. And I intercede by word as much as I do by just prayer. And those, I do a lot of blessings. And I that scripture I read in Hebrews where it says, you know, the prayers of righteous, well, if I'm righteous, if I actually practice that, this has nothing to do with what you think of me, by the way. This has to do with what I am on the inside. I know this, that on Sunday mornings, I bless you when I leave the sanctuary, and some those things are always different. But I'm here to tell you also, I marry people. And I had a wedding the 1st of September for two people who are members of this church. Let me tell you, whether they think about it or not, I pronounced a blessing over them. And that was an important blessing as far as I know because of who I am. I have another wedding this weekend for two members of this church. And let me tell you, as far as I'm concerned, it is my job to pronounce that blessing because I have authority and power in their lives that God has given me because of my relationship with them and with God. You know? So be careful what you say and what you do, and where you have authority, you make sure that you bless people in terms of that kind of stuff. Be careful of all your speech. I always think of Winston Churchill was a heavy drinker. Did you know that? And he ran Britain. And so was Ulysses S. Grant, from what I can gather. He was a heavy drinker, and he won the Civil War, basically, as a general. But Winston Churchill was at a party one time, and Lady Astor came up to him and said, "Mr. Churchill, you're drunk." And he looked at Lady Astor and he said, "Madam, you're right. I am drunk. But in the morning, I'll be sober and you'll still be ugly." Words. Words affect things, let me tell you. Okay? Where are we? We got a little bit here. Words have creative power. Remember that. Blessings or curse can be pronounced. People who, I know this. This is another thing that I know. People who criticize me, you know, if it's valid criticism, I'll take it. But if you're walking with God and people come and they curse you, you need to remember the mirror. Let me read to you Genesis 12:3, which has to do with Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you, I will curse. Remember the mirror. And by you, all the families of the earth shall bless themselves. Look at chapter 27, verse 29. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your brothers' sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. This is Isaac talking to Jacob. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Remember the mirror when you deal with people. Now, I've got about 3 or 4 minutes, and I want to open up what we're going to be looking at next week, mainly. And it has to do with family problems. Anybody here have family problems? I mean, you know, just stuff going on. Family problems in your life. Siblings, children, parents, cousins, whatever. Family problems and discovering God's will. That's what we're going to be looking at. But I want to show you what this is. I'm going to read verses 41 to 46 of chapter 27. Remember, all you have to do is draw a cross. There's stuff going on in terms of our lives all the time that is just human stuff. Got it? But God is involved with your life, and God is involved with everybody else in your family or wherever's lives. And you need to keep that in play all the time in terms of how you live this life. Now, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And this is envy, jealousy, all that go wrapped in there. Got it? And Esau said to himself, the day of mourning for my father are approaching, then I will kill my brother Jacob. But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. Who told them to her? Wasn't Esau. Had to be some of the other shepherds in the field. People that are in the business, you know, around there. Okay, you know, it's kind of like a church, you know. There's all kinds of stuff that travels around, people talk about. But the words of Esau, her oldest son, were told to Rebekah. So she went and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau comforts himself by planning to kill you. We're going to talk about this, but comforts himself. You know, there are people, maybe some of you, I don't know, who comfort themselves at holding bitterness and resentment towards other people. And it just comforts you because I'm just going to get them sooner or later. It says there, I mean, you got to think about these words. Esau comforts himself by planning to kill you. That makes me feel good. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him for a while until your brother's fury turns away. Until your brother's anger turns away and he forgets what you have done to him. Notice that she does not pull any punches here. So you actually did this to him, by the way. I may be your mother, but I know. But then I will send and fetch you from there. Why should I be reft of you both in one day? That, and who is she talking about? She's talking about Isaac. She's not talking about Esau. Both. Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the Hittite women. Do you remember? These are the girls that Esau married. There's trouble in paradise here, folks. And she's got a couple of girls that are really causing her a lot of trouble. Mother-in-law, you know, and all that stuff. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women such as these and one of the women of the land, what good will my life to me? And then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged. Now notice here, and we're going to stop. He blessed him again. You hear it? And charged him, you shall not marry one of the Canaanite women. No. Now, Family problems. If you have family problems, how do you discover God's will in the midst of all that? I mean, I talked to a person today that's dealing with family problems, and how is that person going to deal with those family problems? And how do you deal with it according to God's will for you in the midst of the horizontal of living of these days when you're living with other people and they're all sinners in the sight of God anyway, and some of them are not exactly nice people either. And so we're going to be looking at this as we come into next week. Family problems. And how do you discover God's will, not only for yourself, but for the context of your family in the midst of this? But you need to remember, if you are God's man or woman in this world, then you might be the key to redemption for somebody in your family. The same way that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob were the forefathers, and they were part of the redemption of the human race, and they were living very much family situations similar to what we run into in terms of our lives as well. You know, all I have to do is change the names. But if you're God's man or woman, you may be the key to the redemption of someone in the context of your life, whether it's family or maybe it's people around you that you socialize with, or it may have to do with people in your church or maybe in your family or extended families. So keep it in mind. So we're going to be looking at that next week, the family problems that, thank God, they're in the Bible and ours aren't, right? Because I'd be standing up here talking about your life, and that'd be terrible, or my own, and that'd be terrible. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would talk to us all concerning our lives and how we live them and what we deal with in this life, and just the horizontal part of the flesh that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, but also to look up and make sure that we understand that you are involved in our lives, and you're asking us to try to discover from you also what our lives are really all about in our families